Inside the Food Biz. I am Ruben Torres, your co-host, and today we are getting into this interview with Elaine Artizzoni, and she is with Sweet Cheeks Bakery, and they have an awesome company here that makes some incredible, I can't even describe some of the stuff that they do. You got to make sure you check them out on social media and check out all their pictures, because some of their stuff is just insane. It's so awesome, so you guys make sure to check them out. We are going to get into this. This episode is brought to you by Savor Catering. Make sure you check out SavorCater.com for any of your food service needs, business, personal, doesn't matter. If you're getting engaged, a proposal, you know, a party as small as two, as large as 10,000, we can handle it all. Make sure you reach out to us. Check us out, SavorCater.com. And let's get into this. Here's your host, Eric Remela.
You're listening to Inside the Food Biz Podcast, where we bring you insightful culinary conversations with today's leading food biz professionals. And here's your host, Eric Remela.
Welcome to our show, Inside the Food Biz, with my guest host, Ruben Torres. Hello, Ruben.
Hello, Ruben.
How's everyone doing?
Doing good.
And today as our guest, Elaine Artizzoni.
Artizzoni, like a pizza.
Artizzoni. Si. Artizzoni. So there's some Italian in there, huh?
Indeed. Siciliano.
Siciliano. Okay, and which is one of the two owners of Sweet Cheeks, a.k.a. the Right Cheek. Did I get that right?
Indeed. Yes, I am the right cheek, and Donna Soler is the left cheek.
Nice.
She always says, I'm always right, and she's always left in the kitchen.
So that's what happened to her today?
That is exactly what happened to her today. Hi, Donna. Sorry about that.
Hello, Donna. But we are thinking of you. And by the way, Donna, just to let you know, I do have that bottle of Prosecco.
Oh, that'll make her happy.
I do
for next
have
time.
It. Well, either that, or if we don't forget, I can give it to you so you can take it to her.
That's very sweet. After her long day.
Yeah. If you hear that echo, you know, we're a little sorry about that. We had to move our studio. Luckily, our warehouse is big enough, so we are now in our staff cafeteria. We have a tasting going on up in our usual studio because our tasting room was actually flooded twice in 2 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, these things do happen, but then again, you know, they do happen, and luckily there's an insurance.
Yeah.
So to
you.
Everybody out there who feels like they don't have to pay insurance, I tell you, if we wouldn't have the insurance, I would be officially out of business.
It's well worth it. Yeah, the whole facility here has been crazy the past like week and a half or so, and everything's just taken apart. We do have a really nice, I think you've seen it, the tasting room.
Yeah, it's really
so
nice.
It was nice. Now there's no floor, there's no walls, there's no nothing.
It'll be nicer next time.
Yeah, that's what we're
nice
looking forward
next
to.
Time.
But,
so much for that new remodel you already had.
Right. So you had a heck of a time getting down here earlier.
Well, you know, South Bay driving, and I forget, you know, we used to, actually, our first space that we rented was down in National City.
Oh, nice.
And I lived down Little Italy, so I would zip down, and we always were against traffic, so I'd come down in the morning, go back in the afternoon, no problems, and I just don't even think about what it's like to come down here for 4 o'clock-ish time.
4 o'clock-ish.
So I'm on a 4 o'clock-ish schedule, apparently.
Yeah, it was 4 o'clock-ish when we started the show, and it's also 1 o'clock, so it works out.
It's working out.
It's tomorrow in Hong Kong.
It's tomorrow in Hong Kong.
So
you know what, Eleni? What I would like to do before we start talking about Sweet Cheeks is we've known each other quite a while.
Yeah.
And when I met you for the first time, you were in the wine business. And I was director of food and beverage of the Westgate Hotel.
Yeah.
And of course, since then, we have evolved. We are business owners. But it started, and that fascinates me for you, because then it was about 16, 17 years ago. You did not find that many females actually in the wine business, especially in the you know, selling wise.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. It was definitely more male-dominated business. And now I think there are a lot of women. And
Now, yes.
Yeah, and I still belong to my Women's Wine Alliance is a local group of four professional wine women, basically. And they are kind enough to let me stay in the group, even though I'm not in the business currently. But I do still teach on the side. So it's sort of my little inn, and we're all buddies. But yeah, there are a lot more women in it now.
Yeah. So that was like kind of your first love?
It's probably still. I hate to say that. I'm definitely a wine and dessert girl. I mean, I love all food and wine. But yeah, wine is still probably my first love for as far as cultural stuff. Mm-hmm. Fascinated by it still.
So how came it to that transition?
To desserts?
Yes.
Well, I had been an importer here, working with a couple different companies. That's how I met you, working with Italians and Austrians. And then I had also owned restaurants years ago in Colorado and was trained in food and wine originally. And so I had made all the desserts for our restaurants and was very passionate about baking my whole life. And when I decided I was just kind of tired of sitting in a car doing sales in the wine industry, that's the part that I think was tough for me. I had a huge territories all of Southern California, so I was driving all over the place all the time as an importer, a supplier. So maybe if I had done something more local and I could walk to some of my clients and just park the car and kind of hit people that way, might have been different, but I decided I just needed to stop sitting in the car all the time. So back to my other favorite thing, which was desserts, and I was working a little bit in the restaurants for a brief stint again, mm-hmm. And met Donna, my business partner now, and we just said, you know, if we've got to do something working together for ourselves in the future, because I was clearly not meant to run a restaurant for somebody else. There's just no question about it. does not take direction well all the time. So we
That's
just decided.
Interesting. Ruben looks at you like, I know how that feels.
I get it.
Do you not take direction well, or does Eric not take direction?
No, I think it's not necessarily that I don't take direction well, but I've been used to doing my own thing for such a long time. So, jumping on with Eric and being in an industry that I pretty much don't know much about was, it was a change for me. So
what were you doing before this?
I was in the entertainment industry doing video and film.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So it's a dramatic change for me, but it's good. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm learning.
Yeah. There's the other side of it for me is that having, working for myself for so many years in the restaurants and then now again, sometimes I want someone just to say what they need me to do. And so even though I say it does not take direction well, I actually do. I just don't, I like having my thoughts and my inputs taken and used or utilized. I'm not very good at giving a lot of input and then it not being utilized. So that's where if you're working for the wrong people, it definitely could be a challenge.
That is true.
Or if you're working for people who just have such a goal in mind that you're not necessarily going to impact what their thoughts are. It's really nice when you can be creative in your job. So I know for us in our current situation with our employees, it's very important for us that we give them creative license on things. And anytime we can, when we have orders for cakes or desserts or whatever, and they say, how do you want to decorate this? How do you want us to do it? I'll draw a sketch and I'll say, you know what, but really, I want you to make it as cool as you can make it in this price point and whatever, and keep in mind time and how long it's going to take. And I want them to be able to put their personal edge to it, because that's what's going to make it that much cooler, and it's going to make it more fun for them to do the job.
Yeah,
for sure.
Boost that morale. They'd want
to. I mean, you hope. I don't know. Maybe they'd just rather be told what to do. I don't. I think sometimes you just want to shut off your brain, and sometimes you want the creative outlet.
Yeah.
Well,
so go back 9 years.
Okay.
So Donna, you met, and suddenly you're okay. We want to do that. We have an idea. We want to do that. So,
So
what was the process and what hurdles did you actually run into?
As far as trying to start a business?
Yeah.
Well, so we knew each other very well. We trusted each other. And that was probably foremost, the key important thing to being business partners. I'd had partners in the past. And this was a really integral thing for us, was to trust each other. And we do inherently and still do. And back each other always. We might disagree, but then we have to sort that out before anything else. So in starting, we had really very little money, so it wasn't a matter. And we didn't really want to start out with big loans. We were in a situation at the time. I was already married, and Donna was dating somebody very seriously, and we knew that we had their support to help us financially, just so that we didn't have to freak out about getting paid in the niche in the beginning. So we each put up about $5,000, and it was, you know, just making sure we knew that if we put that in, we weren't going to get it back. And sounds like nothing, but, you know, when you don't have a whole lot to start with, it's something. And we then, of course, had no loans. So we just, we bought, we didn't even own a big mixer yet. We had a little KitchenAid, you know, like a house KitchenAid kind of thing. And we were able to buy some racks, some storage racks, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And we rented this space in a food factory down in National City. And Harris, who was the owner, was the San Diego Pretzel Company. He was very gracious to give us a space in his kitchen, and we rented from him. And the little longer that we were there, it wasn't very conveniently set up the way it was for us, because the ovens were clear at the far end of the warehouse, and we were in this tiny little corner of 100 square feet, and it was just kind of a funny scenario. But, you know, it was a great place to start. It was user-friendly, and he's wonderful, and the product is great. So it was torture going in at, you know, O'Dark 100 and eating pretzel dogs every morning. Anytime they made pretzel dogs, I would freak out. They're so good. But anyway, we just realized it was starting to get more and more expensive. He was trying to raise the rent, I think, to encourage us to go and fly on our own, you know. So we realized it was
like
time.
That. You know, yeah. I think many building owners do that.
They do too. We joked about it for a while, yeah. So we had been looking for a very long time to find kitchen space, which, as you know, is very difficult to find, I think, no matter where you are. But not only to find kitchen space, but to find it where it actually is up to code and all that is very challenging. And we had offered for, I don't know if this is too much information for this is like the beginning of whole scenario. It was just the two of us, and we asked, there's a famous website for weddings called The Knot, and we had been approached by the coordinators who were kind of handling their opening, their big spring party, and we said, oh, we'll make the cake. We had met these people, and why don't we make the cake for the show, you know, for the party? And they said, oh, no, we have it all handled. Okay, I guess they don't want us to do it. So, about 4 days before the party, they called us, and they said, hey, remember when you said you offered to do the cake for the party? We said, yeah, 3 months ago. They said, actually, the person who was going to do it kind of backed out. Do you think you could do it? And I said, you want us, who are people who don't really do weddings yet for a living, to create and design a cake in 4 days for what is the biggest name website that exists in the wedding industry and all of the people in San Diego who are going to be affected by what we bring? That's what you want us to do? Yeah. And they were also supposed to be making these cookies that had the logo for The Knot on them. Mm-hmm. So this is actually an important part of the story. So I said, all right, we're going to make it happen. We'll figure it out. So we come up with a design, and we figure out what we're going to do for the cake. And I said, but I can't do these cookies. I don't know how to make logo cookies. And this person who was bailing out still needs to do the cookies. Why were they bailing out? Oh, well, they're closing their doors, going out of business. I said, well, I understand why she doesn't want to do it then, because it's a horrible thing. You don't want to be putting all those extra marketing dollars into something you're walking away from. But I said, she needs to do the cookies. I can't help you there. And they were the favors. So she agreed to do the cookies as long as we were doing the cake. I said, okay, I'll even pick up the cookies. So they told me where it was, and it was the address where we are now. And I went in, and I said, well, you know, I found out who it was, and it was someone who I was just always so wowed by her work. She was an inspiration for me. And so I went down there, and I said, why are you closing? What's going on? And I'm sure there were a lot of issues. And she said, my attorney basically just said I need to walk away. I can't find anyone to take my kitchen. I said, are you kidding me? Like, to rent to buy the kitchen. I said, hello. We desperately are looking for a kitchen. Can I come see it? Can I walk
that
back there?
That's interesting.
So she brought me in back to see it. I said, I want it now, like tomorrow. What do I do? So we got involved and figured out, we talked to the bank and figured out how we were going to get that kitchen. That's how we got in our space. So it was just this weird, fortuitous thing that brought us to getting our current kitchen, which we've now been in for about 8 years.
Wow.
It was a huge deal, though. Yeah, it was just a dramatic difference to go from 100 square feet in someone else's space listening to their music, which was horrible, and then going into, no offense, Harris, but it wasn't his music, his employees, and then going to what we now have, which is about 1,900 square feet with our own walk-in and our own stuff and our own baking. You know, everything was, it wasn't all new, but, you know, a lot of the equipment was there, so we were very fortunate. Yeah.
That's awesome. Huge deal. You know, equipment is important.
Yeah, having equipment that works. And yeah, I mean, people don't even realize what's involved in these businesses. It's amazing. You think it's just cake. Why is it so expensive?
So the interesting part is, it's who is your creative brain? Are you both like 50-50, or is it like, oh, someone gives the idea and the other one is just very good at executing it?
I would say it's more that, but at the same time, we have people who work with us, teams and on both sides. So we have, like, Donna to me is just an amazing, organized, meticulous machine, and I am the absolute opposite. But if somebody came in and they said, oh, we're doing a party for my husband's 40th birthday and we want a theme that's like race cars and casino or whatever, you know, she would go, I don't know. And she'd hand it to me and I'd say, oh, cool, we could do this, you know, and I could draw them a sketch in within 2 minutes. I could have a really solid idea what we would do. And then Donna would say, what flavor? You know, and she would make a ridiculously delicious, perfect, amazing cake, you know, and I would make it look good. So now we have these teams of people. So I have people who help or even, you know, create the design. I have another co-designer for weddings. I have amazing team of three decorators who can either start to finish, starting with making design or just executing what I want it to look like. And then as far as the other side, the food flavor and all that, we have amazing couple of bakers or few people who create this delicious aspect, and they come up with new flavors and they come up with how to make it taste better, look better, rise better, color it, you know, whatever. So you have these groups of people, and then we have people who help us deliver the items to make them look good on site. So most of the people everyone who delivers for us also is capable of decorating and all that sort of thing. So we always have a kind of professional designer who can set up a cake and make it look spot on site as well. Wow, so they're so all important people, you know, they're all important aspects. And then I have somebody who helps us with doing a lot of our marketing. She also happens to double as our wholesale salesperson, so she handles all of our people that we sell to hotels and Whole Foods and places like that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. It's super interesting because we hung out with the Giggling Goodies not too long ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I didn't even think to ask about all that, because there you do have to think about it, like what it's going to taste like is one element, what it's going to look like is a whole other element.
Right.
And then, yeah, I mean, you know, she did mention how, you know, there was some situations where when you go to deliver, it's like, oops, you know, and it's stuff that from the outside looking in, you don't think about, you know, you just think, oh man, it looks nice and take pictures and you promote it. But yeah, you don't think of, oh, the delivery aspect of it, you know, what it's going to look like on site. You don't think of, you know, because this is some serious talent to do something like this. Mm-hmm. And is this something that most people would have to go to school for, or how does that work?
I guess it depends who you ask. So this is a little example. This little cake I designed on paper, and they handed this to our lead decorator, Caitlin, who's amazing, and she made it look amazing. And we kind of went back and forth on what flowers we'd want there. Were these too ruffly? Were those too stiff? Were the, you know, what kind of style makes sense with the design on the cake? The design was, this is actually based on a new website design for friends of ours, Bliss Events, who are wedding coordinating company. And they were working with a couple different looks. The heart is implemented.
How are they called?
Bliss Events.
Oh, I think we need a hookup there.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, yes.
And they're all fabulous women, by the way.
Just selfish of me, but I'm like, oh,
yeah, you gotta make the plug. Kind of plug it up.
Yeah. So anyway, they use this for a little photo shoot. So she just returned this, and I thought, it's a cute little cake to bring by.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yeah, that's awesome looking. Yeah.
So this particular piece is more of a showpiece.
Correct. So this is not real cake underneath, and any of the cakes that we have, for instance, in our tasting room studio, would all be, you know, styrofoam base and then wrapped.
Is that what this is?
It's underneath, yeah, and then it's wrapped.
But it looks very, very real.
Yes. Sorry, you're not going to eat it later. And then that'll be wrapped. I know, that's so cruel.
Oh, especially for Ruben, that was really cruel.
Yeah, that's my treat.
Because did you hear, because it started speaking like that. You know, the water is like...
I didn't even bring a trail of crumbs or anything. I know. Yeah, so display cake, show cakes, you always, wouldn't make sense to have them be real, especially for photo shoots or for certain things. They're going to be in and out of heat all day long, and, you know, so they're going to start looking worse.
But this is an art, too.
This part is all sugar. Everything on the
so
outside.
Real, what is it? Fondant
is the exterior, and then their gum paste, sugar flowers, and then all the little detail on the front is all based on their design on their website.
Gum paste, sugar flowers. Mm-hmm. Pure Willy Wonka.
Yeah, that is very...
Willy Wonka.
This looks awesome.
Oh, you know, my son is one of his favorite movies, my 4-year-old. And it's
the old one or the new one?
The new one.
Ew. Yeah. So creepy. It's so creepy.
I watched the old one.
And it's creepier?
Yes. Oh. It's definitely creepier.
It's the Gene Wilder versus
Johnny Depp. They do it both well, but the old one is pretty creepy.
Yeah, he was a little creepy. It's just the whole tunnel thing was creepy. It was kind of a little more psychedelics.
Yeah, definitely.
So on the process with this, were you a painter before or an artist? Because to sketch this out, that can't be easy either.
It is if it's what you do. I mean, not easy. I mean, you know, we might do a couple different sketches till we feel like we get it right, but that's where I feel like, you know, everyone has their contribution that's helpful. And definitely that's one of my key contributions is being it. You know, it's like when I was in the wine business, I felt like I could just smell an ingredient and know what wine should go with it and be really pretty good at
pairings,
you know. So I feel like I feel like that with flavors now. And I feel like that with design now. So I feel like I can have a pretty good idea of what someone's going to want just by talking to them and getting a few adjectives and a basic vision of their theme or whatever. And then, you know, there's a fine line between designing what you want to design and designing what they want you to design and hoping the tween shall meet, you know. And so it's important. And not everyone knows what they want.
Yeah, that's true.
And my number one thing I hear from people, well, I'm a very visual person. Like, most people who can see are very visual people. Most people,
and
you know.
Most people who can eat are food critics.
So that is so true, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. But that's fine. I mean, I always say, everyone's got different tastes.
I like that because, I know where they are coming from.
Yeah.
I'm an aspiring food critic.
Yes, but you are. You actually are. One thing which is already good is you like to eat.
Yeah, I love to eat.
The problem is that you don't eat everything.
Yeah.
You have to really work on that.
Yeah.
Allergies aside, and I know street tacos are good. Okay, they're good. I give it to you. They are good.
I got to be the taco.
That little feeling.
Maybe that could be your new thing, Taco King.
Yeah.
Burrito's royalty.
Yeah. We have to work on that's a whole other show, huh?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So what are some of the, I know you've been doing this for a long time. What's been some of the most creative, challenging stuff that you've been asked to do?
Well, you know, it's funny, with the All-Star Game, we just posted a photo yesterday on our Instagram page, our Sweet Cheeks Baking Co. Instagram. Krista, who does all our posts on that.
Could you just repeat that, just in case?
At Sweet Cheeks Baking Co. Company. Co. Anyway, but we posted a photo of a baseball mitt. Baseball glove cake that Caitlin, our lead decorator, did for a charity event we did, and Trevor Hoffman was the VIP, from the Padres. Mm-hmm. And so she did the mitt, and then we did a little baseball next to it, and it was all sitting in graham cracker crumb to look like it was on sand, you know, on the sand mound. And we also had a little edible baseball card. It was a Trevor Hoffman baseball card, and it was his image. And when people walked by the table, it was kind of because it was a charity event, there were various people with different things, and people walk by the table and they just kind of went, huh? And they kept walking because they thought it was a baseball mitt sitting in sand. They didn't have any idea that it was a cake.
Wow.
So then Trevor Hoffman's wife came over and she looked at it and she said, hold that thought. And she ran and grabbed him and she brought him over. And of course he was going to come over and talk to us anyway. And she's like, honey, you got to check this out. It looks just like your mitt. And I was like, that's it. That's the credibility you want. Yeah. Is Trevor Hoffman's wife, I get goosebumps because I just applaud Caitlin to no end for this cake was so stunningly perfect. It was insane. The little Wilson and the stitching and the way it's weaved and the catching part of the glove. Like, it's insane.
Awesome.
And
I gotta look it up now.
Yeah, no, you really should because I'll pull it up for you later. It was insane. Beautiful.
Wow.
But so that was big. And then similarly, we did Sochi, one of our other decorators, because Caitlin was away, had to take on this whole project of doing an Olympic torch, Olympic flame with a Skechers sneaker. And that was for, and I always say Meb's last name wrong, Kevlogi.
Oh, and by the way, you know, if you heard all those names and someone wants to sponsor the show, you know, we are more than willing to take your money.
Open for sponsorship.
Well, Meb's a famous Olympic runner and Boston Marathon, a New York Marathon winner and all that. Anyway, so we made a sneaker in the likeness of his sneaker.
Was that the yellow? Or
the yellow Skechers. Yeah. And it was insane. I mean, it was just gorgeous.
Yeah, the shoelace, everything, the detail.
It wasn't even just that. It was like, it was the way, you know, some of the sneakers have like a glow with dots underneath. I was like, how did you even do that? I mean, those girls come up with things that I would not know how to execute.
So they're real artists.
Yes. Unbelievable. Yeah. And it's just beautiful stuff. And then by the same token, you have someone like, someone like Lauren who helps me co-design for weddings, and she'll go to set up a cake and it might be the most basic cake, you know, just like slapped on spackled buttercream concept, you know, they want a rustic look, which is very popular, and she'll put on the floral fresh flowers, you know, flowers.
May I just interrupt?
Please.
But when you say a rustic look wedding cake, what would that look like? I mean,
oh,
like
that's interesting you ask. It's very, this whole year has been the year for textured buttercream.
Yeah.
And we saw it kind of coming, and then I started reading wedding blogs and seeing that it was definitely the trend for this year was doing, if you were to take a spatula, or if you're doing texture on a wall.
Yeah.
And you're spackling to get kind of like a slap back and forth style. That's one look. We call it spackled, oddly enough. And then the other look is maybe taking a spatula, and if you spin your cake turntable while the spatula is pulling the buttercream, so it's creating very textured looking rings of horizontal stripes, in a sense, of buttercream. Wow. So that kind of look. But, you know, you'd get the right person like Lauren, who is amazing and I think is better at doing cake flowers than any florist I've ever met. And she does flowers on the cakes that are just jaw-dropping. And people will see these cakes posted, and it's the most beautiful cake they've ever seen, and is not because we did a bunch of fancy decor. It's because the florist left us some beautiful flowers to play with, and Lauren had at it, you know. Wow. So it's just amazing. You get the right person on things. I mean, it's like everyone in the kitchen. Same thing with the desserts, you know. You get Melanie or Jeff like piping beautiful roses on the cupcakes and things like that. It's awesome to see people do that.
Is there a word for, like, you know, well, of course you call it culinary arts, but is there a word for someone?
Cake designer?
But is there like a better?
Cake artistry?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Like a mixologist?
Yeah.
Ooh, we need to come up with, not just cakeology, we need to come up with a real word.
Okay, but that could be something, you know, please send emails to Elaine, because, hey, who knows? Who knows? Come up with names.
Come
I mean, right now, you know, someone came up with mixologist, so the cake piper, decorator.
Well, we used to call like Krista's master sugar shaker.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Master sugar shaker,
That sounds like something you need to put on a license plate.
We put it on her robe. We put on a robe for her she was with us for 5 years.
Oh, what are some of the ups and downs in the cake business or the baking industry?
Hot and cold. Sorry.
You're right.
But, well, you know, there's seasons.
Yeah. There's seasonality. There's trends. There's ups and downs. Gosh. I mean, it's an expensive business. It doesn't seem like it would be because everyone thinks, oh, it's just flour and eggs and sugar, you know. But then we deal with very transitionally priced commodities. Mm-hmm. So chocolate and, for instance, chocolate was way up in the past couple of years. Chocolate prices were very high. Eggs more than tripled at one point because in California they changed all the laws for the chicken farmers. Mm-hmm. So now the chickens need to have more space. And that's wonderful. It really is. We're mm-hmm. happy that they did it. But, of course, the chicken farmers aren't going to pay for the cost of having to redevelop and build all the new, the new buildings. So that means that we have to pay, and then we don't want to pay 100%. You know, everyone has to pay a little bit, but and you can't pass it all on to the end user because who can, you know, there's a point where people are like, I can't buy cake anymore or I can't buy eggs anymore, you know, whatever. So, but, you know, you went from seeing a dozen eggs in the grocery store might have been $2.50 and they went up to $5.50. It's pretty dramatic, and it's not like we're buying eggs for zero. You know, people forget that even though we're buying them in bulk, they're still very expensive. Butter too, you know, at one time years ago we were paying $30 for a case of butter, and then it went up to $60, $65. Like, huh? Wow. You know, when you're using cases and cases and cases in a week, it adds up really fast. So that's hard. And of course, labor costs in California is exorbitantly high. And
It's not going to get lower.
It's not going to get lower. It's obviously going up. And that isn't even the biggest expense. But we marvel, you know, we look at our $40,000 a year workers' comp fee. Huh? What? What do you mean? Like, who can, how do you justify that? So anyone who's wielding a knife or anywhere near an oven is 10 times someone who's sitting in an office seat.
Oh, yeah. And your mixer. Don't forget your mixer. That puts
The equipment, of course, is expensive.
It's nearly like a welder. It puts you somewhere on the top tier of workers' comp.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's not as high as construction. I understand construction is really, really crazy. But it's amazing. You know,
no one ever slipped on sugar?
Sorry. Some egg whites.
Yeah, it's a challenge that we deal with regularly. And so it's a hard business to have great people in place doing great things and explain to the public that when you watch the cake boss,
I was about to ask about that.
They don't tell you what those people are spending on the cakes. They're spending thousands of dollars.
Wow.
And so we marvel, you know, I just tell people, would you just go on some of these websites and look at what they say for their pricing structure, that, you know, most of these sculpted tile designs start at $1,600.
Wow.
They don't go up to, like, we try to go up to, you know, we're in San Diego. We realize we're not, you know, we're not necessarily in the heart of where people want to throw down a bunch of money. It is different in New York and LA and New Jersey, but
yeah, or Palo Alto.
It doesn't make our costs less. So that's the problem, is our costs are often higher than they are in some of those places. Even, you know, in San Diego, it's a very expensive place to be, and yeah, so it's challenging. That's probably the low, if you had to have a low. But the high, it's, you know, it's great fun. It's very rewarding. The most amazing thing is getting a beautiful thank you note with the, you know, pictures of the client or photos of some beautiful little one-year-old boy and his gorgeous cake that we made for him, and it's all over his face. I mean, that's the best. You know, that's why we do it, is to have people say, oh, my God, it was amazing. You know, and you're not going to please everybody. You know, once in a while, you're going to have those people that are just like, you suck. I'm sorry. We tried. You know. And it's the bridezilla factor is out there. Yeah, we say sometimes the mother of the bridezilla is actually sometimes hired.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. But most of them are wonderful.
I'm like,
we work
with so many. You have no idea.
We work with brides every day and grooms, and we do loads and loads of same-sex weddings. And there's always somebody, no matter, you know, weddings are emotional times. Yeah. And we have wonderful, wonderful clients. And most of the people that we meet with are wonderful and appreciative and excited. And they're ebullient. And the whole point is they're celebrating this incredible union, and
that one day in their life.
Okay, Mr.
Yeah, they're making fun of me because I had it 3 days in my life.
Three most important days.
Yeah, well, I liked it so much. That's why I had to do it three times. Come on.
Oh,
apparently, I'm not the only one. So.
You're not the only one. We've had many second.
It's like, well, yeah, there's even a president contender. Oh, I can't. No, it can't be said in the same line. That's just. I'm sorry.
More than once.
I would feel better if he would have just got married twice or four times. So that we have something in common.
It happens.
Sorry, we said no politics, no religion on this show. Sorry. Second time I'm slipping up on that one.
That's all right.
Well, cheers.
No one's judging.
So you're going to see what's coming in.
Right? Oh, it's starting already. So when you watch some of these shows, like Cake Boss, and you know they have all the cupcake wars and all this stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
What are you thinking when you're seeing this? Like, oh, this is how real it is, or that's not how it happens, or...
Well, there are a couple sides to that answer. One is the only time I've ever watched Cupcake Wars was when our girls were on it and we won.
Woo! Nice.
So, yes, I was very positive watching that. Nice. I haven't actually really watched the show otherwise. Watching Cake Boss is, to me, I think it's fun on occasion. I don't really watch the shows very often, but I think it's fun on occasion to just kind of see what they did, because they'll show little blips and I still automatically know what they did. So it's fun for ideas to some degree. The other part of that answer is I couldn't tell you if I wanted to how much of the reality there is or not, or how much of it is, you know, there could be some manipulation of things. Yeah. 'Cause I'd probably have my head taken off. But no, I mean, there's a lot of stress involved. I know when the girls got back from filming Cupcake Wars, they were they actually knew themselves that they had won already, but they weren't allowed to tell anybody, and they were so rattled, they were so stressed out and emotional and just freaked out by the whole experience, even though they had won. So it hadn't aired yet, of course, but it was an intense experience.
Wow.
Speaking about winning an award, you just recently got an award, and when we talked, you were totally downplaying it. Like, well, yeah, kind of, yeah, we got it, we won first place, and it was like so normal. That you didn't even...
Oh, from the A-list or the non-A-list.
Exactly. That you were not even like... I don't want to say not being happy about it, but...
It's humility.
But okay, we won and you expected it that you're going to win and that was it. And I said, come on, you won. This is still a big accomplishment.
I know, and you actually taught me something that day, and it's true. And Donna and I actually both laugh because we're both terrible at accepting compliments, and in a sense, getting getting first place in something like the A-list, or getting we're in the Hall of Fame of the Knot, we're couple's favorite best over and over year in a row, and don't think I don't appreciate it, because we do. It's an incredible thing that people care. You know, when we don't pay to be on something like Wedding Wire, and I get these, I see reviews, hundreds of reviews on Wedding Wire that people have posted, former clients, just because they chose to, and with all these amazing 5-star reviews, and I just think, my God, that's so incredible that they do this, and I don't even have an ad on Wedding Wire, but I we're just not good at accepting compliments.
Don't tell the others.
We're not good at accepting compliments. I just look at it like we just bust our butts to be where we are and to be as good as we can be. And we strive to be the best. And, I'm sure in some people's eyes we're not. But it's important to feel like we have, done everything we could to be in as many people's eyes the best as we could.
Well, put it that way. If 95% of the people say you are good or the best, I think there's something to take home here.
You're correct. You're right, and I need to do that. But I do need to do that more often.
Because
I know
we know there is this client, and you will not win. It doesn't matter. It was just we wanted to do the best for the client.
Yeah.
And then for reason whatsoever, it was not what the client had envisioned, even that they had the tasting before, because there's also the tasting before, but when it came all together, boom, the client goes, you know what, no, that's not even what I tasted during the tasting.
Isn't that funny? We've heard that a couple times, not many times, but yeah, you think, yeah, oh, yes, that's no, it's usually, exactly,
luckily,
this is actually exactly the same thing. But you're in a different state of mind. You're
exactly, and you take pictures, you know, it's the same, and especially you take pictures because you want to have the same in the plate served, well, in my case, in your case, it's, oh, well, this is a sketch of the cake, and, you know, you said you agreed, okay, I want that sketch, you know, here, you signed for it, and you could actually go back and show this to the client. But I think that's where we are pretty respectful and just, you know, bow and say, okay.
What can we do now? How can we make you feel better?
Yeah. Well, I usually still take the money.
Well, there's a point you can't factor. You know, what's really sad is there are people out there, we all know, who are just, it's like people in restaurants who say, I found a paperclip in my plate, and you know they didn't find a paperclip on their plate.
The toenail.
They're just looking for, you know, they spent a lot of money, they're mad at themselves, they spent so much money, or someone yelled at them, they spent too much, they went over budget, and they're trying to get money back. And I don't think that's the norm. You know, thank God, you know, it's very rare that somebody like that is deceitful, and it's a shame that they do it. Yeah. But, you know, in probably many phases of their life, they'll do it, you know, for anything. I don't know. It's not the way we operate, but
being that you've been at that level where, you know, TV and the awards and that kind of stuff, what do you do to get your name out and to keep your name out there?
You know, it's funny. I've just been thinking about that again this week because we're redoing our own website with the help of our awesome Blake from Mido Studios. And we're hoping that, and it's a lot of it is on me because he needs, of course, the info from me to make the changes. And, you know, of course, it's peak season and trying to get it all done. But in redoing the website, I've been thinking about that as well. It's kind of pulled me off of some other things that I need to do. Is go out and, you know, revisit with your favorite venues you like to work with, or with your favorite wedding coordinators you like to work with, or I mean, we don't do a ton of paid marketing ads.
Is there a couple you want to just give a shout out?
A couple of our plays, you know, I hate to do that because there's so many amazing people that I would remiss if I didn't say the I mean, honestly, we work with, we do a lot of cakes as the preferred vendors on a lot of amazing venues here in San Diego. We work on what we call like a package. So if someone were to get married, for instance, at like the Catamaran or the Costera or La Jolla Beach and Tennis Club, the Prado, some of those places, we get to do the cake or the desserts for those clients generally on those packages. So we'll have a limited number of people that they can talk to, and we've been fortunate enough to do a ton of great events that way. And so I think that working in conjunction, so much of what we do is word of mouth. And I was talking to a really lovely lady this morning who had a lot of our desserts at her friend's child's party. And she said it was just incredible. She wanted us to do her own child's party. So it's a lot of that sort of referral. So it's word of mouth from people who we like to work with, and they like us. They know that we're going to do a professional job. They know we're going to show up on time. They know we're going to make the cake look phenomenal, or whatever it is that we're going to do. They know we're going to take care of the client. They feel confident sending their client to us. Then you have the people who knew friends of friends, or their sister got married and we did their cake, so then they're getting married now and they wanted us to do the cake. It's a lot of that kind of repeat business. Yeah. Or it's, you know, oh, you did my wedding 5 years ago, we're having our second baby, and we're finally moving back to San Diego, will you do something? So it's that kind of, we see that all the time. Nice. And it's great. I mean, that's the most fun thing, is you get this continuing relationship with clients for these really important moments in their life, and it's a really fun thing, especially when you see some of the way of this one client, Nikki, who I just adore. My God, she's one of these funny, funny girls who we've done so many different things for them, and she gives us carte blanche to do whatever we want to do, and we crack up every time we see each other, you know, and it's just, you have these memories of these clients who just really put an impact on your life.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the referral aspect of it is probably the biggest compliment that
Yeah, anybody can, absolutely. You know, receive, that's the best review you can get, with, and it wasn't written, you know?
Yeah, so that's a heartful, that's something meant, you know, from, mm-hmm. from the heart.
It's an incredible endorsement to have people who, especially some the high-profile places in town, mm-hmm. and, you know, I think, to me, the most professional florists, photographers, wedding coordinators, bands, DJs,
caterers.
You know, caterers. Sure, my God, caterers are caterers. Huge. To me, caterers are almost a venue to me, because they are so much in one spot that I group them into a venue in a way, because they are so integral. But, you know, and, you know, rentals, hair and makeup people, it's just incredible. There's so many people involved in some of these big events. Mm-hmm. And it isn't all weddings. You know, we do a lot of corporate stuff. We do a lot of, you know, whether it's somebody like a Qualcomm or BMW or Nordstrom or whatever, you know, we'll have... You know, maybe they want something with their logo on it. Maybe they want something that's going to showcase a 25-year anniversary for the work, for the company, that sort of thing. So we do a lot of that as well.
Nice. Yeah, it sounds like you keep busy doing the whole well-rounded everything.
Kind of have to, you know, because there are limited seasons. And, you know, like we're doing, I hope we're still doing, we were approached. Every year it seems like we're approached to do stuff for Comic-Con. And we've done a few, but unfortunately they don't generally have big budgets to do. It's always like an afterthought. Wouldn't it be cool if we did this really wild, cool thing?
Yeah, Spider-Man cake.
But they don't actually have the budget. And I was like, how do you not have a budget? If you don't have a budget, how would I have the money to do it for you, you know?
Especially as large as Comic-Con is now.
It's like, you know, these movies, and they're doing it for TV shows, and, you know, and sometimes it's, I think it's just like a side thing that they want to do. Yeah. So it's cool when you get to do the opportunity, when you get an opportunity like that to do something really cool, and they do have a budget to do something really cool. It's a lot of fun.
Well, you know, knowing that you and Eric have, you know, have a history from, you know, for so long, what are some of the things that, I mean, just from me up from the outside looking in, what's the best piece of advice that you've gotten as far as being in the food biz, in the food industry?
Oh, my goodness.
Hang in there.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of hanging in there. I think one of the things is sometimes it's easily to be discouraged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you are in our industry, you, God, I don't want to say you have to turn a blind eye on it, but you really have to put it away, because the thing is, you're kind of in the public eye, and we deal with a lot of rejection, you know, in this business.
Yeah.
And you have to learn just not to take it personally.
That's a key.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult. Don and I have talked about this for years. I used to own restaurants, and I'd have people on a regular basis leave our restaurant. It was this little restaurant in Telluride, Colorado, and people would leave and go, "Oh my God, Elaine, that was the best meal I have ever eaten." Like, are you seriously? And yes, and, you know, that's an incredible thing to hear. You'd have people all night long saying, "Oh, everything was wonderful. Thank you so much. It was great." And you'd have this one person who would ruin your week. It wasn't that this person would ruin your moment. They would ruin your whole week. You would stress about it and not be able to sleep and panic because this person didn't like the wine. I didn't even make the wine, you know? But some people can be so cruel, you know? And
mean and cruel.
Is there a difference between mean and cruel? Maybe there is. I don't know. But it's kind of like the big joke in the hospitality industry is that, of course, everyone in the public should at one time in their life work in the service industry, whether you're at an airport counter desk, whether you're in customer service on the phone, or whether you're working as either a server or a manager or something in a restaurant. And because we all know that's what, you know, we all deal with those things. We're all as public buying or going, or, you know, you have problems. And it's learning what it's like to be on the other side. You know, and how it feels when someone says something the way that they say it to you, and you think, gosh, what do you do for a living that you feel like you could be so mean to somebody, you know? But that was something I remember in the restaurant industry. You think, oh my gosh.
Well, I always called them the asshole client, you know, because...
Oh, I didn't know we could use that word on
the podcast. Oh, you can. You can use them the fucker too if you want to.
F-bombs, it's not even Thursday.
Oh, you reserve it for Friday and Saturday.
We used to joke, but if there were F-bombs dropped on Thursday, it was a tough week.
No, it's really, and that is always the part, you know, which I had to just overcome.
Yeah.
Because I think I have a fellow human being in front of me and he's treating me like shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, why do I deserve this?
You don't.
You know, it's like...
You don't.
You're just ruining, like you said, not your day, but your week, because you keep thinking and thinking and thinking about it. What could I have done that this doesn't happen?
You can't. Sometimes you can't. I mean, there are some people that will not be pleased. And that's something that's really hard when you are one of those people that you're generally, if you're in the hospitality industry, generally, you're in it because you want to please people. You are going to go out of your way. No, thanks. I have to drive back. No.
I'm good too.
You,
that's all you, right?
You know, we're that, it's that kind of person that gets into this. I mean, if you're money driven, you're probably not in this industry, unless you're going for a mass number of restaurants or, you know, whatever. But you're generally in it because you really care. You care about food. You care about making something delicious and amazing. And you care about people and you want to see the smile on their face when they enjoy it. That's what you're in the business for. You want to see them go, oh my God, that's delicious. Or, oh my gosh, that's beautiful. Thank you. You're in it for the thank you. Yeah. So is that a good reason to be in business? No, not at all. Is that a good reason to own a business? Hell no. But it's who we are. Yeah. And
it's
you have
true.
To,
we like those happy faces.
You have to put that, you have to put that personal side and that emotional side behind you as much as possible. And it's really hard when you're the one that gets to, has to deal with any kind of the complaints or any kind of the fussies, mm-hmm. you know, but it's part of the deal. It's part of the industry.
Deal.
Yeah. My dad's a veterinarian and we marvel at some of the stuff they deal with as veterinarians. I mean, you can't believe what people say when they come in with their animal. If the dog doesn't survive,
they blame him.
Of course they blame the hospital. The dog was on its deathbed. They told him not to have surgery and they still decided to. Well, they said this dog's 16 years old. He's probably not going to make it. Yeah, what are you going to do? And you can't, you're not God, you know, you can't do everything. So, I don't know. I always say you just can't please them all. You can do your best. It's all you can do.
For up and coming baking companies, I guess someone like Giggling Goodies, what piece of advice would you give to the up and coming baking companies that are, because there's a lot of them sprouting out and, you know, you
oh,
see
yeah, they're
it,
all
see,
over the yeah, place. Yeah, a lot of people working out of homes, working out of other people's kitchens. This is what we did, you know, we were starting to. You know, I guess we were always told have an exit plan, which, you know, seems like such a strange thing to hear from someone when you're starting a business. And have a business plan, like have all these plans, you know, like plans, I just want to make cake, you know, you get all this happy face. But we are currently working with a wonderful business consultant whose name I will actually say, Andy Kamal with Infix. And that has been mentally life-changing for me. And I say that because I was going through these kind of weird doldrums of just feeling like you don't know what the next step is. You know, you either need to grow or you need to downsize or you need to expand on one area and maybe not another or something, but you know you need to do something kind of at a crossroads point. And it's very difficult when you're in it. You know, it's that whole you can't see the forest for the trees, and I never understood that saying until I got older and I finally felt like, okay, I'm clearly in that forest and I can't see any fucking trees. See, there was my first apple. But you finally feel like you need someone else to look in for you or pull you out of it to make you look in.
Yeah.
And so that's been a really great eye-opener, and I think that's probably something that if I could tell someone starting to take more time to plan in advance, really not just learn, not just, it's like you almost can't without having some of the experience and to see if you don't what if situations. But it's really important to see where is your money truly coming from, then where is it going, and how do you keep it? You know, and so to make beautiful cake,
how do you keep it from going?
From going, there's the coming and the going, and it's like losing weight. You know, you bring in less than you expend, And when you want to have a business, you want to bring in more than you expend. So you want to be gaining weight in a business. So anyway, and it's something that I think that someone new needs to probably should really talk to somebody like that earlier. Because I think you can get a much better sense and then save money over the long haul, save more than it's so easy to give too much. And I think the newer people coming into the business will be the ones that are always trying to undercut, and they're always charging a lot less. And I hear it. Like once in a while, we'll lose some of the places that we're working because someone's coming in and doing a cake for $3.50 a slice. Well, I'm not going to do that. I can't. I couldn't possibly afford to sell that for a wedding cake. Couldn't possibly afford to. It's not even a matter of.
It doesn't make sense with your ingredients and everything.
If I do that with the people we have and the workers' comp and all the nonsense.
What is the average slice? Like $7.50.
Yeah, I would say we tell people averages between 8 and 10. Mm-hmm. And there are places who are more expensive in San Diego. Not many, but we consider ourselves in the higher end of wedding cakes because we want to be. We want to be producing an incredible product. We want it to be perfect. We don't want to put out a half-assed product. So if we were to slap things together and throw it together and, use cake mixes and things like that, things that could be stuck on a store shelf, which we don't use that, saves a lot of money. Every time you have to make another recipe for every component of the cake, it takes someone to do it. It takes all the ingredients to do it. It takes the perishability. If you make it, you can't make it too far in advance. It's like having a all saute station at a restaurant for anyone who does a restaurant.
No, but it's true. You pay for the quality.
Of course, you pay for the quality and the skill and the service.
You can do it cheap. You will get cheap. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things. And I think the car industry has proven, the best that you buy a cheap car. Maybe don't expect it to drive 250,000 miles without falling apart.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, but okay.
You don't want a disposable car, and you don't want a cake to fall down in the middle of your wedding.
Oh, no.
I mean, I get pictures sent to me from other bakeries, from coordinators. They'll text me, can you help me with this? We got it from so-and-so, whatever. Or so-and-so is the bride's aunt wanted to donate the cake. Oh, that's great, but... what am I going to do? This cake is half falling over. Shove some flowers there. I mean, I don't know. But it happens all the time. The cake's melting. It's not my cake. I don't know. And so that's another big thing, of course, is you're paying for the knowledge. You're paying for the experience to know, if you're getting married in that location, it's a beautiful place, but the cake in that spot at this time of year is not going to work because the sun sets right there and goes right at that spot, and it's going to melt.
But this is also the type of advice you're going to get with someone. I mean... now you've been 9 years, doing just that, but in the industry you've been already so much longer.
Because I'm getting very old, the crow's feet.
That's not exactly how I meant it, but it's okay.
Donna's about to kick me right now if she's watching this.
Well, Donna, anyway.
I'm sure she's not watching this.
She's probably like in the kitchen.
She's like, I just told you today you look pretty.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's like,
goodness.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Ruben is trying.
Watching,
you know what?
Donna is watching.
Or at least
she
was.
She's the best.
Aw, she's sweet.
And my wife Gonzalez is watching. And Liz Russell is watching.
Hey, Liz.
And Michael Esposito is watching. He says he loves it.
Liz is something we have to do something with. You know Liz Russell, she is one of the really great designers, local designers here in San Diego, and I just love her.
Interior designer or what kind of designer?
No, clothes designer. Oh, really cool stuff.
Fun.
Really, really cool stuff.
That was
stuff.
Something I wanted to do when I was young.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you can design. That's like something I don't have. I can't even write or draw a line. If I draw a line straight, it's not happening.
A straight line is one of the hardest things to do.
Well, okay, so
don't ever judge yourself like that.
Okay, a circle.
You want to see my circle?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's looks perfect. More like an egg, so that's fine. Well, if you're looking for eggs, then my egg circle
Oh, darn
is...
it, I was supposed to bring eggs home.
Good thing we reminded you.
I know. I'm not driving back in that traffic.
So how can the listeners find you online?
SweetCheeksBaking.com is our website. Don't be fooled by the imitations. Sweet Cheeks Baking, and then we have our Sweet Cheeks Baking Co. is our Instagram. And, oh God, Krista would kill me that I never remember how to say the Sweet Cheeks Bake Co. on the Twitter. But we're on Twitter, and of course, and we're on Pinterest, Sweet Cheeks Baking Co. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of really great images and that kind of stuff. And,
which one of those works best for you in your particular industry?
You know, in our industry, I don't know. Most people looking at Pinterest, if they're designing a wedding, they use Pinterest mm-hmm. a lot. So Pinterest is important, and I'm not as Pinterest savvy as I should be at all.
Me neither, at all.
We have over 10,000 followers on Instagram, so Krista does an amazing job with that, and that's pretty cool. And then Facebook, we do a ton of, we have our Sweet Cheeks Baking Company, and we are definitely the San Diego, I mean, there are a couple places that opened, and it's, you know, it does, forget the fact that we have a trademark, you know, a federal copyright on our name. People don't seem to care. And Lord knows, paying an attorney to fight it is obviously a losing battle these days. So.
Well, maybe there's an attorney out there who wants to battle this fight for them. And you know, you just share 50%.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
So
food business attorney.
It's so annoying. But,
would you settle for 50% between you and the attorney?
Of what? We're not going to get a winning of telling these people to shut down. You're not going to get anything.
I don't know. I've seen a couple
imposters.
The cease and desist, honestly, I think it does nothing unless you're willing to put skin in the game and start spending money, which is a shame.
Hardball.
People just don't have any risk. They don't care. They don't care. Anyway, so yeah, I would say for us, we have a contact page on our website if people are interested in scheduling tastings, ordering cakes, getting more information, whatever. They can go on to our contact us on our sweetcheeksbaking.com site, and it'll just send straight into our main email, and then we can contact them. And I usually ask people, and you know, we hate to say talk just money in the beginning. It isn't really the point, but we do like to get from people kind of like, what's your budget? Because really, it's if we're talking about if someone's just looking to spend $40, it doesn't make sense for us because unless they just want, you know, to get a couple dozen cupcakes, not even a couple dozen, a dozen cupcakes, because these days, because honestly, you know, you're talking about the amount of time and back and forth and, you know, designing and for what?
Yeah.
You know, it costs us however much, it costs us that much an hour.
But isn't it fascinating that they still come?
I'm thrilled they do. And that's the thing, you know, you don't want to turn away. It's educating the public kind of that they are not going to a grocery store, that they're not getting something that is pre-made and here. Okay. So we've already got this vanilla cake. We'll just write Happy Birthday John on it. That isn't the kind of place we are. We're not even a storefront. We're sitting in a business park, you know, tucked in the back, and everything is ordered in advance. And so, you know, we actually have just been meeting. This is part of our whole business consultation. But, you know, meeting with our team and figuring out what makes sense. You know, we got to have minimums on a wedding order at this point. It just doesn't make sense not to, because the time going back and forth with people, you're already spending so much in labor just to all the communications. You know, so it's stuff like that you just don't really, you don't recognize until you're in it long enough and you've got employees and you have people to pay and they have families and, you know, that's our reality check is talking money, you know. So we started giving people windows, like you want to spend $300, $500, $700, $1,000 up, like what's your budget? And so when you can kind of give them a little window, then they say, oh, we were kind of thinking like $60. And so when you start it to, you know, especially if they're talking about a fancy cake or they're talking about a sculpted cake, we've had people that literally walk in the door on a Friday in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they will show me a picture of a Lamborghini and they ask if I can make this cake. And I say, what do you mean? Like, you want a square cake with that picture on top? Even that won't happen by tomorrow. But no, they want a sculpted Lamborghini.
Wow.
Sculpted Lambo? Like, how big were you thinking? Like, life size or like this big? Oh, no, it's only 10 people. How do you make a Lamborghini for 10 people and have it make any bit of sense for dollars. Like, what do you think it would take to make a Lamborghini? Why don't you buy a plastic Lamborghini, put it on the table in front of the person? That way they can actually keep it and order a few cupcakes to eat, and we'll all look sit around the Lamborghini, because that's about the reality here. Like, there's no chance that's happening in a day.
Wow.
And there's no chance that's happening for $50, which is what you just said your budget is.
But
it's really amazing
to me. This
is so
funny because, you know, there are many sales gurus out there, you know, and they're like, oh, don't ask people for the budget. Don't ask people for the budget.
You have to.
I mean, hey, what a waste of time on both sides.
Right, don't waste their time. That's what I always say.
Yeah. And they go like, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't.
Yeah.
Why waste all that time in a conversation if your client is not willing to pay the price?
Unless they're looking for ideas from us.
But
which is sometimes the case. They're just looking for ideas from us.
Well, yeah. But
and I'm happy to give them a couple ideas on the phone and say, hey, I can't do it for that price, but, you know, why don't you try this? Why don't you buy a couple, you know, toppers online?
And the
online?
Reality is, you know, it's like your client usually has already a price in mind.
I think they do.
Yeah. And if you can upsell it, kudos for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say, but if they only wanted to spend $50 per person, well, that's what you're going to get, $50 per person. If you can talk them into 60, 70, that's, I think that's also the beauty of it, you know, if you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if he has $12 in mind or she has $12 in mind, you won't sell them something for $20.
Right.
You're
right.
Slice.
Well, he was talking catering dollars because that's his world, and then
or slice dollars,
but, yeah.
You know, but
$12 a slice, you'd get a nice
sometimes.
Cake,
and
but
it's
not
hard.
For not for five people. This is the thing you have to remember. You know, there's a minute you gotta start somewhere. You can't start with a micro mini. You know.
Yeah, and you don't want to have a 2-hour long conversation about something that is not going to happen.
Right.
That's both sides.
Yeah.
Wasting their time.
Right. Totally agree.
Wow.
Totally.
Yeah. So now I'm going to get calls for a couple of salespeople which have never sold in their lives. Oh, they had one big sale in their life, and that was it. But it's okay.
Well, I learned.
Am I getting
a lot
personal
today.
Here?
You're gonna get a bunch of Westgate people.
No. It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. But sometimes maybe you shouldn't give me the mic. But that's also the beauty about having it.
Hey. It's your show. You can
we
say
didn't even
what you
get
want
into.
To.
We didn't even get into singing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was kidding.
Ow! Well, that's your fault.
You had a glass of wine. Where it's karaoke.
Well, that's the thing. Had this been a glass of whiskey, I might be singing like that's
now you know
by
for
now.
The next one.
Well, no, I can pull the whiskey. If
you're
we
singing
have to.
Benny and the Jets pretty soon.
Oh, you know, Elton John's actually good for me. There are not a lot of things that I can sing because I don't.
Elton John is good for you.
It is. I do Rocket Man. I can't sing a lot. And I have no range, but I can handle a couple things. Yeah. Fever's my main song. Fever's my song.
We
got
to be invited to the next karaoke night.
Oh, no, I don't sing in front of the public. I don't sing in front of people.
It's okay. Just pretend you're on radio.
No one can see you.
I love to belt out in the parking garage, though.
No one on Facebook can see you. So, speaking of the whiskey.
That's not exactly whiskey, no.
Eric always has a bottle of wine for each guest, and he has his wine of the week. And what is this one
today? It's kind of my wine of the week, so let me get out.
I got to tell you one thing I think that's kind of cool about this wine. So Eric and I know each other from when I used to be a wine importer, and I used to sell Austrian wine and Italian wine. And the Austrian grape, Grüner Veltliner, Ein Grüner Veltliner,
Grüner Veltliner, very good.
Was a very tough sell when I was in the wine industry, and now it is not only in most of the finest wine bars around San Diego and hotels and restaurants, but Eric found it at
the grocery outlet
which is really amazing. Nice. That you can find this one. Happens to be a Hungarian Grüner Veltliner. Mm-hmm. So Hungary and Austria of course are neighbors, and one of the wines I used to sell was this incredible line of dessert wines by a guy named Alois Crocker, and unfortunately Crocker has passed away, but he had this tremendous dessert wine selection that he grew right on the Hungarian border, right on this lake, the Neusiedlersee. Am I saying that right? Neusiedlersee?
Neusiedlersee?
Neusiedlersee. And anyway, I was just talking about him yesterday, just amazing wines, and they pair with desserts. And so like Donna and I, when we got in our business, after I left the wine business, we still love to teach wine and dessert pairing. And it's, of course, usually with dessert wines
and that's something too. Please let me point that out. You know, Elaine is for hire.
I don't come cheap.
Oh, she doesn't come cheap.
Let me rephrase that. But,
I'm like, okay.
I don't work cheap. Don't get personal.
It's okay. It's okay. I have some friends that are in the massage business, so.
Yeah, I think we just took
anyway. So
took a whole different turn.
Oh, Ruben.
No.
Took a whole different turn. I'm blushing. Took a whole different turn.
I know, is it warm here?
I think it takes you more to blush for that. But you know, it's so nice to have this type of passion. You know, if it's the wine, if it's the food, if it's the dessert, and that's really why I think we have this show. You know, it's inside the food biz, and I hope that everybody, you know, can take something out of it. And
I learned a lot today.
Did you?
Well, yeah, but you will be learning for the next 10 years, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And hopefully longer.
Yeah. And you know, it's not just a show for professionals. It's for everybody who enjoys this.
I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, and I think it's so nice to see people, well, like basically all guests that we had, they are in one way or the other really passionate about it. And, you know, to hear that's like for me also motivation to continue and do more.
Yeah.
To see that, well, it's like your clients when you see them and they come and they are happy. That's your motivation.
Oh,
because we are not at a point
absolutely
yet, you know, where we're driving that Ferrari. But please come. We really, well, actually not a Ferrari. I should say I don't need it. I'm happy with a Porsche.
Yeah, well, Porsche cake.
We've done a couple.
I'm happy with a Porsche. I'm happy with it. You know, they feel good. But you know, for you, it could be like a Maserati. I could see you in a Maserati.
You know, I don't know. I think I'd do a Cadillac or something like that.
Okay, lowrider Cadillac.
A lowrider cake.
Do you know my first car I ever really drove was my dad's pink. He had an Eldorado. It was like champagne pink.
Yeah.
And they didn't have another car for me to take to school, so I used to drive that to school sometimes. Oh my gosh, so funny. And my friends and I would love getting in that car. I had a big sunroof and the cool dog. You would have loved it with the spoked wheels. It was awesome.
I love those.
I'm
going to have to get a lowrider cake next.
Yeah. So why would your favorite car be?
You know, it's so funny. I'm so not a car person. My husband laughs
at me. You
don't
have to.
I know. I'm not a car person. I don't care about cars. I like practical, and I drive a VW diesel wagon that I adore, except that the emissions thing and all the lawsuits that came out, I have to probably figure out what I'm doing now because my lease is up in October. Yeah. Yeah, so I really want the same car again, though. I love it. It was either that or
you
that
know,
out,
in,
and I
in
couldn't
this
afford
case,
the Audi.
I will tell you something that you were misled.
In what way?
They did not deliver on what they said. In this case, you have a very legitimate complaint.
It's so true, and that's why I'm going to get some money back, which is cool. Even though it's a lease, I'm still going to get some money back. It's very cool.
Right.
It might even pay for a new oven for us because we could use a new
oven.
There you go.
Yeah. Awesome.
So please continue buying your cakes, cupcakes, desserts from Sweet Cheeks.
Well, thank you. You know what? Thank you for asking me to be on here. This was fun. And you know, people who are doing this have to be passionate about the food business and about this whole idea to drive to Chula Vista in 4 o'clock traffic is what I'm thinking.
I know. Even that we are on the San Diego side.
That shows how much we love you guys.
Well, hey, I can live with that.
Yeah.
But you know, the interesting thing is these interviews haven't even been released on haven't even been released on iTunes yet, and people are already asking if they can be on the show. So it's kind of cool. Yeah.
That's really cool. Good for you.
There's a passion behind you know, being involved in the food biz.
Oh, it totally is, and it's a wonderful business. It has a downside.
Like the health department.
But it's like every. Well, do you really want to talk
about
this?
That's a whole other show.
Now is your moment.
Can we just get the county health and the city health to have the same laws, please?
Let's get them on the show.
Would you get them on the show? We need both sides. You need the county and the city on the show at the same time and say, let's round table, let's get this figured out. Why don't you have your kitchen laws the same? It's ridiculous.
And we should have you on as well.
Oh, but that would make you grill that. I'd be here. I'd be here in a heartbeat.
No, but that would work on that. That let's do it. That's why we have, you know, this outlet. And
I'm in.
That's a great idea.
Done deal. Right.
That's a whole other show for the next time.
I'd probably need to bring my attorney, but I need to find an attorney first.
No, don't tell him about it. Not even the fictitious attorney.
Okay, well, since we're not getting any karaoke, there's no whiskey, there's no karaoke. But anything else you want to plug up? Do you have anything, any other upcoming maybe contests or anything that you have coming up?
Events? Contests, I don't. We're doing an open house show at the new Brick event studio venue, which is in NTC's beautiful venue. Yes. We're doing that tomorrow evening. Oh. And I believe it is probably,
that's why I shouldn't say this,
but I believe it's open to go. I think I don't even know if you have to pay. Oh, it's terrible. Here I am going. I'm running our station. But oh my God, the cakes that Caitlin just, we had sort of designed and she sort of redesigned and she did these cakes today. Oh my God, this one cake is so beautiful. I'm so excited. It's my favorite cake she's ever designed. Wow. I'm so excited. And that's going to be our display cake. And then that Donna and Jeff and Melanie are putting together some amazing desserts.
Post the picture.
I will.
We share.
They'll have a professional photographer, I'm sure, and I would rather have their pictures than my crappy phone shots. But
Yeah, but yours is faster.
That's the problem, you know, and it's not fair to the photographers because they're so good and they put so much work into their job. For all of us to post crappy photos.
I have an idea, but we could compare.
Yeah.
And that would just prove why. You should have professional photographers.
That's right.
No, there's a reason
bakers,
for that.
And bakers and caterers.
And all that, you know. Yeah. Of course, you can all cook at home. But
you hire a caterer.
Yeah, it ain't the same.
120? Try it for 40.
For 30. I know. It's even hard for 20. I say anything over 6. It's like going to a restaurant with over 6 people. Already, it's a nightmare. It's just timing is tough, and it's like your service is, you know, it's just different. Yeah. 6 people is a good number.
And we can take care of that.
Yeah.
Favor. So let us know. We can take care of anything from 2 to 10,000.
From 10 to 10,000.
I do have to say that we have one more thing in common, which was kind of actually funny. When my ex-wife remarried, my wedding present quote was,
this was
me
funny.
Cooking for her, you know, and suddenly Lynn shows up. Yeah, I'm like, oh okay, that was fun actually.
I know, that was funny. I walk in to set up, she had a cake and cupcakes, and I walked in to set it all up, and I look in the set up off-site kitchen, and there's Eric. It's like, doing here?
What am I doing here? Aren't you the ex-husband?
Isn't this your ex-wife?
It's okay, it's my ex-wife. You know, you better keep in...
I don't think I even realized she was... Did I know at that point? Maybe I must have known at that point she was your ex-wife. I don't even know. I just thought it was amazing that we were in the same place.
Well, put it that way, she knew.
She knew.
Mm-hmm. That's all that matters.
And that's totally excusable if you...
But, wow.
Well, anyway.
Oh, my God. So, anyway, I wish I had some special thing to say. We love to teach classes to kids and stuff. That's our big thing right now has just been trying to figure out where in the kitchen time do we make that happen to do a regular thing. We would love to do a regular thing. Hmm. I'm still trying to figure out where we'd be best place even to promote that. But
like Chula Vista we've been or asked, South San Diego? Or
maybe. We've been asked by people all the time to do classes. So we've done a few. We've mostly done private parties. And that's really fun. And we enjoy it. It's usually kind of like late afternoon, early evening kind of a thing. And the kids go crazy for it, especially, you know, of like course. Right now, the people who are the hottest probably on this stuff are like 8 to 13-year-old girls. Definitely there are some boys who are amazing at doing cake decor, and even we've had one little boy, one of our favorite coordinators, Miss Melissa, her son Benny is like obsessed, and he's good. It's weird, you know, to see a little boy be so, you know, he's quick and he's got ideas.
Junior kick boss.
It's amazing. we've had some fun times, and we love to do classes.
Maybe that's something we can do here. Maybe do a workshop or something.
Might.
You know, maybe like a
Yeah, you guys actually have a lot of space.
We have the space
to do it. It might be kind of cool to just do a quick workshop.
No, put a couple of belly bars, you know, in the back of the kitchen.
Yeah.
Why not? We come up with something.
I think it would be
kind of
cool.
Shall we? Yeah, running out of batteries, literally.
Oh, low battery.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you for stopping by. And I think it's still gone. But thank you for stopping by. Learned
my
a lot.
Pleasure.
Maybe we can do a part two soon.
Well, I think we're going to work on the health department.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. No. And I think it would be good because, you know, there's nothing wrong with an open discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we are, that's a part that we live with, you know, constantly health department comes and, but you raised a valid issue and yeah, that should be discussed because it's important.
Mm-hmm. That's the next show, you guys.
A lot of restaurant and school, I know they were really going after the schools to update, do things in their kitchens and stuff. I think a lot of people right now would be interested in having that conversation and hearing that conversation. I truly do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look into that.
Yeah, our government at work.
Yeah.
Bless their hearts.
Well, thank you for stopping by. we want to invite the listeners to check out all of Sweet Cheek's social media and the website. And keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome. I love the photos that I've seen so far. It's been awesome.
That's nice of you to say. Thank you.
And good luck with any other stuff. I know, you know, doing any other TV shows or anything like that. You guys deserve all the awards you're getting.
Oh,
awesome.
You're so nice.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah. Thank you.
And hopefully we'll continue to work together soon. But that's it. We're running out of time here.
And thank you for Saver Catering to
thank
sponsor
you, Saver,
the show.
Yep. Saver Catering. We are at the Saver Catering facilities here in South San Diego. And our sponsor for these last few shows have been Saver Catering. So make sure you check us out, savercater.com. And check us out on social media as well, Saver Catering at Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff, Facebook. So reach out and say hello.
Something, too, is one of our shows. And I'm sorry to do that. I do that all. And they say being disruptive is the worst thing you can do. I'm really
it's
good at
show.
It.
It's your show.
It's
right.
It's
your show.
The thing is, you know, one of our shows has reached already over 650 views.
Yes.
I know, that was amazing.
And come on, continue doing it. I mean, we
have
to be able to go to
go forward. I was just going to ask you, is it recorded that we can share?
It'll be here on Facebook Live. You can just hit the share
like
button.
Like when we finish and I get on Facebook, it's no longer live because I'm now off.
No,
so
but you could still share that and they could see everything
perfect.
We just did. Yep.
Cool.
And then once it's on iTunes, we will send you the next Friday.
It's going to be on iTunes and?
iTunes and Podomatic. So we'll have it on. So if you have Android, it'll be on Podomatic.
And
if
one
you
of
have.
My younger employees will teach me how to do that.
You know, it's great because now all the new iPhones come with the...
I don't have an iPhone.
Oh, all right. Well,
you don't have an iPhone?
No, never have.
Oh, well, that's all right. Android
okay. We won't think less of you, but I
my
do have to
my husband is definitely not an... My husband's not an eye guy, and he's just like, God.
You know, I'm not an eye guy,
I became
but
an
my
eye guy.
iPhone has made a difference.
Yeah. I tried one for a day, and I didn't like it. I don't know why.
But
I
that's okay.
Yeah.
It's fine. So, you can still see us on Facebook,
on
Android,
and
that's
on the website.
Yeah,
totally
I'm a
cool.
Girl.
And you'll find it on the website
so,
as well, too.
Personal preference.
Yes.
But in one thing I think we both agree is that Sweet Cheeks is good.
Sweet Cheeks is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping to slice into
good.
This, but
I know.
Next time.
Yeah.
I know, I'm sorry.
I was
got
in a little
bamboozled.
Bit of a rush. I should have. Do you know there's a big Great Dane lives in my building named Bamboozle? He's
that's
really
a cool
big.
Name.
Yeah, it's a cute name.
Well, say hi to Bamboozle for me because I feel like I'm being bamboozled.
You were bamboozled with a fake
I was looking to cut
cake.
Into this awesome, beautiful fake cake. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We are out until the next show. Make sure you share, review, and
next
let everybody know.
Thursday
yep.
at 4.
And we are out. Thank you guys. Inside the Food Biz.